Welcome to the Free Stretch and Happy New Year. I am Bobby Fenton coming to you live on what is currently a Friday morning as I record. And we are doing the show for the first time in 2019 under football conditions, under camp time conditions. The offseason is over. There will be players, coaches, people on the practice field later on today at One Buck Place. So thank you for joining us. It is obviously a very happy occasion. This time of year always is. It's always burgeoning with so much hope and anticipation and all those things for everybody, and with good reason. I don't care what your season outlook is. Like I said last week, it's more than just football season. Football season is a lifestyle. It's an existence. It's a state of mind. And we are crossing over now from the offseason to that. Today, the ceremonial first official practice, open to the public later on. So thank you for joining us. The Free Stretch is brought to you, as always, by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, where, as always, you can go check out anything you want on the lot or online, and it's all open for the lifetime warranty, unlimited years, unlimited miles, 10 years of roadside assistance, all again on any car you purchase there, new, used, certified, pre-owned, whatever. Check it out at the website, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Of course, you can always go to the location, which is where it's always been, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, just north of Hillsboro. It's there on the east side of the road. Once you get over that Hillsboro overpass, you'll see it. And they have been serving the Tampa Bay area there proudly for almost 60 years now. The first family of automotive sales in this area. Bill Curry Ford, check them out there on site. Or like I said, go to the website, BillCurryFord.com, C-U-R-R-I-E. And thanks to them. I know they're fired up. We're fired up. I'm fired up. And let me tell you something. This is what you came for, okay? You didn't come here for my off-season stories about my family vacation or me bitching about adults wearing jerseys or adults looking for autographs or any of the... You came for football, and here we are. And there's going to be real live people out there on those practice fields today at 4 o'clock. Hopefully the weather cooperates. Of course, now they've got the big indoor practice facility. So if for whatever reason there's an issue with the weather, they'll still be able to practice. We know that's going to happen. It's nice to know. It's nice to have for the team. And it's one of the reasons that allows them to schedule practices now for 4 p.m. instead of those early morning things and all the stuff like that, two-a-days. And if you go way back over the years, I mean, listen, I'm not a football practice guy. Like, you'll hear some people wax poetic about football practice and the smell of the grass and the clanking of the pads and all that stuff. And I do love those things, okay? But I, you know, it doesn't matter necessarily what your background is. Maybe you played football. Maybe you never played the game in your life. Either way, it doesn't matter. I did play football, not at a high level. I played through high school and then certainly did not play in college, but then after college, and still to this day have played in a few semi-pro leagues and stuff just for fun. Point is, okay, we're talking, to quote Allen Iverson, about football practice. I mean, it's practice, okay? And of all the sports, and this is kind of the thing about football, like, it's tough being a football player. You go play baseball, and you play a lot of games. Like, you're out there playing baseball, and there's practice, of course. I mean, if you have a little league or high school or college, there's baseball practice, of course, at the major league level. There's games almost every day, but you've got spring training. You've got batting practice before the games and fielding things they do. But there's a lot of games. And even hockey and basketball, there aren't quite as many games, but there's more of an even ratio between how often you practice and how often you play. And then there's football. And I'll tell you what, no sport do you spend more time in preparation for such a small little window of what the actual game is than football. I mean, you practice. And you practice. And again, this isn't whether it's Pop Warner, whether it's high school, whether it's college, or whether it's pro. That's just the nature of football. It's a once-a-week sport as far as the games, and there's only a few of them for a few months of the year. And yet, again, somebody's out there working. Shouldn't you be out there working? Of course, there's always something you could be doing. So there's practice, and there's film, and all the things they do. I'm not one of those guys who's going to sit there in the seats at training camp every single day with this just gigantic grin plastered on my face, like, oh my God, it's probably after about 10 minutes, like every football practice ever. And I've played, I've coached at the high school level, and obviously I've been a fan. Every football practice ever, after a few minutes, I'm like, okay, it'd be cool if maybe we had a game or something here, or at least scrim it. You know, it's practice. It's very necessary. I'm not ripping football practice, but it's hardly a spectator thing. And yet, the Bucks have done a good job, and I'm glad they brought back like the covered seats and stuff, because you can get out there and just be around it. I do like the smell of the grass. I do like to hear the pads clicking. Football puts a premium on itself. We talked about this all last week as far as, you know, the TV ratings and all the things that explain why football is the most popular sport in America. But the biggest reason is football puts a premium on itself. I hear the crack of a bat, you know, spring training, and some people are spring training people, and they're like, oh my God, what's better than spring training and the access, and it's so small. Dude, spring training after like 20 seconds, I'm like, dude, this sucks. Can we just stop? I mean, let's go. I want baseball. We only have 1,000 games to go. We should start playing a few of them now instead of playing almost 40 more that don't even count before we play the other 4 billion that do count. You know, same thing here. Like, we're all hungry, okay? So you're going to hear those pads clack. You're going to smell that grass. I love the sound of just guys yelling at each other across the line, you know, teammates, but still all the trash talk, all that stuff about football practice is cool. But then you're going to get hungry for a game. We got a couple more weeks till that when they take on the Steelers in their first preseason game. Okay, that'll be cool for a few minutes. Then we'll get through the first quarter or two of that, and y'all will be bored with that. We'll want the season to start. So all these things are, this is the natural cycle. This is August, even though it's not officially August yet. That's what the month of August is. And yet, we've got plenty of things that we're going to be looking for in camp. Yesterday, all the guys actually reported. Everybody's there. They had their conditioning test, which for the Bucks, every team does different conditioning tests, but the Bucks did, I think, it's 20 60-yard sprints, and they get a break like in the, you know, middle, like after 10 sprints or something like that. So they did all that. They're going to be out there this year. So we've got questions, right? What are the questions going in? Well, there's two sets of questions. There's camp questions, and then there's season questions. Camp questions are things like, who's the right guard going to be? And Bruce Arians was asked that yesterday and did not give any name specifically, just gave some sort of broad, oh, we got a lot of guys, I'm interested to see what kind of competition, blah, blah, blah. Fine, okay? Things like, well, you know, the running backs, who's getting the most reps, how many reps is Ronald Jones getting compared to Peyton Barber? Of course, Peyton Barber's the number one guy, but we've been hearing all about how much more of a role Ronald Jones is going to play. Things like that, you can look at the practices, and of course, all you have to do is go to joebucksfan.com. It will all be covered. Every 5 seconds during the offseason, the Joes are putting something up. Never mind now. So follow them on Twitter, at JoeBucksFan. Check the website. I mean, everything's going to be updated all the time. You won't miss a lick, even if you can't go to any practices, even if you can't follow along. If you have a computer or a smartphone, you'll be able to be as dialed in as anybody with Bucks training camp just simply because of the Joes and Joe Bucks Fan. And there are others, too. I mean, you guys know this already. There's plenty of ways and places to consume media about your team. Joe Bucks Fan's the best. It's hardly the only one, though. And between it all, you're going to know if Ronald Jones fumbles on a... In fact, we ought to have, like, training camp bingo or something like that for all the different things you're going to see in the next few weeks. And I'll be guilty of some of them, too. But I'm looking forward to the first... Like, here's my favorite training camp bingo type stuff. Some random member of the media, and again, the Joes do this too. I'm not just saying it's other people. Some random member of the media posts a 10-second clip of some guy like running a route and catching the pass with a little caption. You know, Chris Godwin, nice catch on a slant route on this practice. I don't give a crap about any of that, you know, but again, you're hungry. You're looking for anything, but you'll see. Oh my God, how about this play here? How about this throw by Jameis Winston? It's practice, guys. It's practice. There'll be that. Oh, Ronald Jones in a scrimmage drill, they were doing goal line, and he fumbled, and he actually was very mad at himself, and he ripped his chin strap off. You'll hear somebody tweet about that, you know, fill in your score on training camp bingo. Can't wait for my first. Matt Gay was only 3 of 7 today from 42 yards. You'll get one of those tweets where, you know, the new kicker we drafted didn't make as many kicks from a certain distance or something, and somebody in the media was there watching, and they tweeted out. That's a bingo square. Ain't gonna be any damn music here. New sheriff in town. Bruce Arians is a straight shooter. He's gonna tell you how it is. And there's not gonna be the old way of doing things anymore. It's a new way. That's a training camp bingo square. You can definitely fill that one out because I guarantee you'll hear that 1,000 times. Of course, there's the requisite so-and-so looks good. So-and-so is either practicing really well or just physically looks good. Ronald Jones has gained this many pounds or whatever. Devin White clearly has command of the defense. Even though, again, it'll just be, oh, he looked great in the huddle calling out the defense. I think Devin White's going to be the guy. You know, again, all those things may or may not happen. But my point is, this is the kind of stuff you're going to hear during training camp. And it's all a beautiful thing. It's great. But nothing really matters now. Like, I can't stress that enough. Nothing matters. The things that matter, and they are happening now. I'm not saying things that matter aren't happening, but nothing that you're going to be able to see or discern or anything is stuff you're going to sit there as a regular viewer and just watch a practice or follow somebody else on Twitter who's watching a practice and be able to say, oh, yep, this tells me this, this, and that about the 2019 season. The things that are going to determine the 2019 season are going to be, you know, obviously Jameis Winston, and that's not a camp question. That's the other set of questions I was talking about. When we enter the season, what are we going to get from Jameis Winston? That's an overall question. That's not going to change based on anything we see. Maybe in a couple preseason games you can gauge some things, but even that is very flimsy at best. You know, one of the things Bruce Arians said in all of his media availability that he's been doing here, and there was even, I think Rick Stroud wrote an article about it in the Tampa Bay Times. I love Rick Stroud, Greg Allman of The Athletic. They do a hell of a job. Thomas Bassinger, who's been on this show before. So these were all great places for coverage. But Stroud's article was talking about Arians, who said, you know, one way to help Jameis Winston out a lot this year, and I'm quoting now, quote, don't play from behind where he's got to throw it 50 times and put the onus on him to win games. Yeah, that's true. I mean, we've had a bad defense all this time, and it'd be nice maybe if we weren't playing from behind all the time, and you see some of those interception numbers, and a lot of it's because he's been throwing it all over the place. But as always, there's a counterpoint to that. And Thomas Bassinger, who's very good at counterpoints, based on numbers, brought it up and said, you know, that it's not untrue, obviously, that the defense has not been great over the years, and it certainly hasn't helped Jameis Winston or the team in general. But it's not like Jameis Winston just gets into trouble because of a bad defense and then, oh, poor Jameis has to work his way out and he throws some pit. And he brought up some numbers. There's only been, I think, 5 times that Jameis has thrown 50 passes or more in a game, just to use the number that Arians threw out. And in those 5 games, in 4 of them, Jameis Winston threw at least 1 pick in the first half. And in most of the, I think 3 of the 4, he threw 2 or more. So yeah, don't play from behind where Jameis has to throw it 50 times and put the onus on him to win games. But Jameis has also been the reason they've been down early in games too, because the turnovers have got to stop. That's, of course, one of the huge questions of this year. And I've said on this show many times, I'm excited to see what Jameis can do under this staff. I think it's going to benefit him. Obviously, not just Bruce Arians, but Byron Leftwich, who's taken over as the offensive coordinator. Clyde Christensen's there too. The offense overall is actually not that different from Dirk Cutter's. It's probably more aggressive, and there'll certainly be, you know, more downfield stuff, I think. And that's great. Again, that's great if you're not throwing picks. But my point is, you know, a lot of these things aren't just going to be, you know, magic bean type stuff. Hey, Bruce Arians is here. Now Jameis is a stud. I hope that happens, but you know, he's going to have to really, and they're going to have to get through his head, and more than just, I mean, I know Jameis can go in front of the microphones and say, oh, yeah, I got to cut down the turn. I mean, really get through his head. Like, when he's out there, he doesn't do the things he's done in the past. And I don't want to neuter him, because I think he's a hell of a quarterback. I think he's got a lot of physical skills, and I think that he's a playmaker. And, you know, I don't mind picks every once in a while. It's just part of the cost of doing business at this, especially the way the NFL is now. But yeah, the dumb stuff, the stuff, you know, the risk-reward stuff where the reward's not really there, but the risk is high. You know, those are things that you're hoping he has gotten better with as he enters year 5. And we won't know that. I mean, and we might not even know that until not just the regular season, but well into the regular season. That's a huge question. Do these people we have playing defensive back that we drafted, can they actually play? Can they help out? Can Vernon Hargreaves play? You know, we're just penciling him in as like a starter at corner, as if, oh yeah, lockdown. Hargraves, shaky, before the injury, shaky at best, and now we're hoping again, maybe better scheme, maybe Mike Smith's scheme wasn't the best for his skill set. Hey, we hope so. But these are all hopes. They're all things we don't know, and they're not things we're going to know just based on practice. What we have, what training camp is for fans, and not for the players, but for fans, is it just something to do, something to have in front of you, something tangible? But concrete answers don't just magically come out of it. So it's here. I mean, I'm going to be out there. I'm not going to every practice, but I'm going to be out there plenty. I'm going to take my son out there. It's a great chance if you have the chance to do it. And some of the open practices are on weekends, but a lot of them are on weekdays. And, you know, especially with school about to start back up, if you have a chance to take your kids out there. I used to love going back through the years. And my favorite memories of camp are still, for the old school Buck fans, they remember this, University of Tampa, Pepin Rude Stadium. Used to love going over there. It was never that hard. There's a beautiful covered grandstand that is still there to this day that's been renovated, in fact. And you'd go over there, and they had two fields going. You could see the far field, and it was just a beautiful thing. Right there in downtown skyline overlooking everything. That's still, to this day, to me, the best training camp setup they've ever had from a fan standpoint. Now, facilities-wise, it probably wasn't where they needed to be. Then they moved to Orlando, which sucked. I still don't understand why teams go, and some teams still do it, although fewer do. But hey, let's pack up every single thing we have and just drive it somewhere else for like 2 weeks and then pack it all up again and drive it back, even though we have a gorgeous facility. And I get some coaches are like, oh, well, you can't be just having guys sleeping in dorms and just total focus on football. You know, that's what coaches always love. They just want literally nothing but football just coursing through everybody under them, their veins, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the time. So, hey, we got this huge practice facility. We got a weight room. We got everything we could ever need. Why don't we leave all that here and go somewhere that has nothing and move a bunch of stuff and practice at like St. Olaf College, whatever the hell it is, and do that for a few weeks. And we can have guys riding their bikes from the dorms to the field. Kids can carry their helmet. And there's something poetic about that. You know, everybody knows the Norman Rockwell, you know, Green Bay Packers player, you know, riding the bike that a kid loans him and the kid walking next to him with his helmet. That's cool. I agree. That's cool from a fan standpoint. But if I was like running an NFL team, I mean, do you know how much stuff they had? They packed their whole weight room. Like, try moving a weight room. Like, not just the equipment, but all the weights. You got, hey, let's get 75, 45-pound plates and just move them in a rider truck and get everything. I mean, my God, what an undertaking. And for what? So, like most teams have, and there's still a few holdouts, but like most teams have, the Bucs are now at this facility, which they, or I shouldn't say they, which we paid a lot of money for because it was kind of part of the deal with the halfpenny sales tax, and they're going to use it. And you can go out there, and you can check things out, and I think that's a great thing. I think that it's something that, at least from a location standpoint too, it's easy because it's right next to the stadium where everybody already knows where to go, plenty of parking, plenty of everything. So it's a good chance for you guys to get out there. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is my email address. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com on Twitter. You can find me at BobbyGameDay. One other thing I wanted to mention just kind of made me chuckle a little bit because, again, training camp is all about like just trying to come up with stories, trying to come up with angles. So Jameis Winston, during his media availability yesterday, and he and Devin White and Arians were the three that did availability yesterday. You know, he's a new father now, so I think he had the kid in the offseason, right, if I remember correctly. I think this is his first season as a dad, or maybe it's his first full season as a dad. So, of course, that's kind of an angle people are taking. Hey, is there going to be a new Jameis Winston? You know, he's got a kid now, things are different, he's settled down, blah, blah, blah. So Jameis Winston said this about fatherhood. He said, quote, "Fatherhood has taught me to be an all-time puzzle maker, working at putting together playhouses and toys, and it's very difficult to do. I'm consistently learning and working." Now, and that's fine. I mean, again, he's trying to come up with a quote that sounds good about being a father. I think a lot of new parents, if you interviewed them frankly, would say things that they probably can't say to a member of the media. Let me tell you something, though. And again, if you have kids out there, you already know this. And I've never been somebody making millions of dollars to do something where, you know, he's obviously probably able to focus more on that, and that's his job. The most important thing he can do for his family is, you know, besides obviously be a good father, be successful in his career and keep that job and, you know, do what he's been able to do. As a dad who, I'm a stay-at-home dad a lot of the time, not all the time, and as somebody who, you know, really had to sink their whole teeth into the whole fatherhood thing from the get-go, and I got two of them who are 7 and 4, I'm not better at anything now than I was before I had kids. I mean, some people like to say, oh, being a father has shown me this and taught me that. Yeah, I've learned a lot of things being a dad. I've definitely seen things and I've definitely changed as a person. I'm not better at anything. I am worse at every single thing that I used to be good at since having kids. And I'm not blaming, I'm not complaining. Again, if you've had kids out there, you're probably nodding right now. And maybe you've had changes to your personality. Maybe you're more understanding. Maybe you're more patient. Things like that are good things. But I'm saying actual things. Like, are you better at playing pickup basketball with your buddies? Are you better at crossword puzzle? Just any random thing you can think of. How many things are you better at now? For those of you with kids, especially young kids. I mean, if you've got grown kids, then you've had a chance to kind of, you know, reboot, maybe is the word I'm looking for. But I'm not better. I don't lift as much weight. I don't focus as much. Anytime I get a spare moment, I'm tired. It's getting better now that my kids are a little older. But a parent of like a 1, 2, 3-year-old kid, you ain't better at anything than you were before the kid came along. I mean, before I had a kid, for example, like this podcast. I didn't do the podcast before I had a kid, but I used to do sports talk radio. And before I had a kid, like, I would eat, sleep, and breathe it. I was always thinking about my next show. Every day, I'd be, like, writing stuff down. Like, something would cross my mind. What's my... I mean, it was just, you know, I just put a lot into it because I didn't have anywhere else, any other outlet. And since having kids, like, I don't think about other things as much, whether it's my job, whether it's my workouts, whether it's anything, my hobbies, because all the kid stuff takes up so much attention and time and energy. And by the time I'm done with it, I usually just want to sit on the couch and surf Twitter on my phone while I watch a Rays game. So I'm worthless after that. Because like all like your resources are going to kid stuff. And again, I am not, if it sounds like I'm complaining, I'm not complaining. It's the best thing I've ever done. But it's not, oh, hey, Jameis has a kid now. Oh, I'm sure that'll be great. Oh, he's going to be a way better quarterback now that he's got a freaking 1 or 2-year-old or whatever in the house. I mean, come on. Like, again, realistically, people that have kids already know that that's probably not exactly the case. And none of this is to say he won't be a good quarterback or even better quarterback this year. It just won't be because of having a kid. But again, he's got to give an answer like that. And, putting together toys and things like that, that's the least of it. It also depends, again, on what your role is and if you don't have to spend 10 hours a day constantly waiting on a small child hand and foot and tending to their needs and having no adult conversations, that probably takes more of a psychological toll on you than, you know, doing an hour here and there when you get home or before work or even waking up in the middle of the night. See, being a parent, all the stuff they tell you about before you have a kid isn't that bad. Changing diapers isn't that bad. Even, like I said, even, you know, having to get up in the middle of the night a few times isn't that bad. It's the psychological toll. It's, you know, and this is more for stay-at-home dads, if there are any out there, than anything. It's, you know, going all day, not having any adult conversations, having to tank it, you know, trying to teach a 3-year-old to hit a tennis ball and sitting there and hitting 25 balls and they all bounce right by and the kid has to go get it. Stuff like that. You know, you're like, okay, you know, and again, that's part of it. And it pays off. Like now that my kid, especially my 7-year-old, now that he's 7, now it's getting to be pretty awesome because of all that stuff I did before. But you know, that stuff can take a toll on you. I don't think this is happening to Jameis or anything like that or any other player on the Bucks. But, it's something to keep in mind. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can get me @BobbyGameDay. Always like to read listener emails, and I have a couple here. One was sent to me by, this is Chris. I've got a lot of pushback the past couple shows on some things I've said, which is typical and fine, especially the things I've said that are pretty judgmental of people, but I always give people a chance to respond and make their case. So this time, Chris, he writes about the Bucks season and things like that, but at the end of his email, and Chris has emailed me before, I like Chris, he says, also had a question for you. What exactly do you mean when you say you think jerseys being worn by grown men is childish or something? I wear jerseys, as do my friends and, frankly, fans across all stadiums in the world. I would have to disagree with that comment, because how can you ridicule or call someone out based on what they wear? People like to buy Buck stuff, even if the jerseys suck. I'm glad he said that. It actually is part of being a fan, and anything someone does as part of being a fan shouldn't be mocked, as what is the point of telling people what they should or should not do or wear? I remember you saying you don't like to spend money on clothes. He's right about that. And that you don't mind where your clothes came from. I agree with you on that. But if you say that, shouldn't that extend to allowing people to wear jerseys? Because I frankly wear mine each Sunday and will be repping it along with my wife's first jersey I got her when we head to London for the Panthers game. So he says, anyways, ends on a high note, excited for training camp. Really need the season to be here. Sundays are getting more boring as each one goes by. The itch is getting worse. Well, this email was written a little, like a week ago. So we're here, Chris. Congratulations. And Sundays are going to get better pretty soon. Hell, we got the Hall of Fame game, by the way, coming up, which is always something to me. I don't care. I love it because it's uniforms, football, actual, you know, referees, and not practice. But as far as his email says, I'm not backing off this, okay? There's nothing. Look, I'm never telling you what to wear. You can do whatever you want. We all can. I'm saying what I think about it when people do that. They're still free to do it. I think grown men look a little ridiculous in jerseys with another guy's name on the back. Still ridiculous, but slightly less with a blank jersey. And, you know, again, wear whatever you want. Have fun. I guess with the Bucks, the way they've played lately in the past, you know, what, 10 years now? We shouldn't be picky about, you know, if somebody's into it and still wants to put a Buck jersey on, I guess we ought to give them a standing O just for that. I'm more of a game day polo shirt guy if I'm going to the game, or a t-shirt guy if I'm not going. But I do always, I mean, every damn day since I was 6 years old, I put a Buck shirt on a Sunday game day, every day. And not just to go to the game. I feel weird if the Bucks are playing and I ain't put my Buck shirt on. Football's the only sport like that, by the way. Which goes back to what I was saying about there being a premium on these things. I don't need to have a Rays hat on to watch a Lightning game, or a Lightning jersey to go to a Lightning game. But when it's the Gators, or where it's the Bucks, where it's football once a week and it's only, you know, 12, 16 times a year, I need to be wearing something for my team on all of those days. So I'm with you there. Like, I totally get that part of it. But, you know, I think where, like, this is rooted in for me is the whole idea of jerseys as fashion wear and what that's done to all of these leagues across sports. And you see it because it's like the movie, you ever see the movie Wag the Dog? It's like from the 90s and it's not about sports, but the point is, I don't like when the tail wags the dog. The dog's supposed to wag the tail. But now, they actually, why do you think the Bucks right now wear such hideous uniforms? It's because, hey, we need to come up with something we can put on the racks. Let's change it up. Let's get some new jersey. And that, there's really no need to do anything ever for most of these teams, but they do it just to put something on the rack because y'all go out and buy it. $200, $300. So, like, let me say this, and even if it's a jersey I like, when I see somebody either at a game or just walking around the street and they're wearing a football jersey, I resent that person. I have slight resentment because they're part of the problem. They're part of the reason all this crap exists. It used to be just, hey, teams wore what they wore and that was it. And now I see a guy in a jersey and I resent that. Like, just based on the idea. I mean, I think it's absolutely crazy to spend that much money on anything to wear at all, but certainly something like that where, again, hey, let's get something new. What's it been, 5 years? Oh, let's roll these out. We can have smoke machines and we can have a big reveal and we can make sure we let everybody know all that stuff will be on the rack. And same thing with hats, like Major League Baseball. You know, you used to just be every team had a hat. Now you got home, road, batting practice, spring training, G.I. Joe, Memorial Day, Labor Day, Veterans Day, 4th of July. It's like 15 hats. It's ridiculous. But again, $30. Go to Lids right now. Go get them. Go to the New Era website, whatever. Screw off with that crap. So that's what it comes down to for me. Again, I'm not telling anybody what they should or shouldn't do. I can say this, though. Like, and me and my friends, and we are hardly like the too cool for school types. We're not a bunch of douchebags who think we're better than everybody else. But me and my friends, like, we get together for games sometimes. If we ever were at somebody's house all getting together for a game and one of us walked in wearing a jersey, we would all look at the other guy and be like, dude, like, are you seriously? Like, what are you doing? Like, we'd be like, you're almost 40 years old. What are you wearing a jersey for? So I'm sorry. Like, I mean, I'm not sorry, sorry, but I'm saying I'm not trying to insult anybody, but I can't back down off all this stuff. And I read the email last week from the guy who wrote to complain about me saying autographs shouldn't go to adults because he collects them. And that's fine. He collects them. I mean, he's not elbowing kids out of the way or anything like that. But again, I mean, these are just, there's certain things that I believe if you're going to come onto this podcast, and maybe you're not going to come onto this podcast, but if you're going to come onto the podcast, you're going to be exposed to them for better or worse. And, you know, this is what I do now. And so, with all that said, I mean, again, do whatever makes you happy. Support the team. They're going to need support, okay? And I don't mean the Glazers need support financially or anything like that, but it's been a lean little while here. I'm still, as I look out onto the horizon here of the 2019 season, I'm less than excited. And that's usually, for me, not normal. I'm usually excited no matter what, but maybe I've just been sobered up in recent years. Maybe having a kid, like I just did that whole thing on kid, maybe that's one result, is I'm not as idealistic as I used to be. I'm much more based in reality, okay? But it could be another year or two till the Bucks are getting where we need to be, and I hope that's all it is. A lot of that depends on what happens now. So if you're supporting the team week in, week out, despite all that's happened already, good for you, no matter what you're wearing. That part I do feel like, okay? Because we need everybody out there, whether it's at practice or at the game in person or even not even going in person, just watching on TV. Support them however you want. I do know this. We're all very excited. It's going to be a fun year. I want to make sure I'm not going to be there today, as later on when this show is released on Joe Buck's fan, it'll probably be like during practice. I'll be out there next week though, and I will put it on my Twitter account or whatever for anybody that wants to try and come up and say hello. I'm the bald guy. I'll tweet it out if I'm going to be there. And it's going to be a lot of fun going to a few practices and everything. And soon we'll have the preseason starting, the actual games. In the meantime, though, again, Hall of Fame game is this Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. So this is the final weekend, even though there's no football next weekend since it's on a Thursday night. But that's like, it's almost like week one. Like, this is, there's a football game this week. And that will be the case in one form or another every single weekend, all the way through February of 2020. And that makes me feel so good. I'm so filled with joy. And I hope you are too. No matter what ends up happening with the Bucks or whoever else, the teams you follow, we're there. So you can drive out to one Bucksy prep, your local high school. They're going to be getting going soon, okay? Because the kids report back to school and they're going to have their practices and all that. And even that's a beautiful thing. I know the Gators are out there today too. I'm not sure when FSU opens their camp, but it's all happening now. So congratulations. Happy New Year. We did it. I want to thank the Joes, as always, for allowing me to be on this website, which is the number one place on the internet and anywhere for Buccaneers coverage, joebucksfan.com. Follow them on Twitter at joebucksfan. I want to thank them for giving me this platform because it's incredible what they've done with their site, and for me to be a part of it is a privilege for me. I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to thank our sponsors at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to everybody. And you guys, have fun this weekend. It's the final, if you want to call it the second to last, maybe, because technically next weekend there's no football besides the Hall of Fame game on Thursday. But if it's the second to last one, you got 2 weekends, all right? I got drywall still with a hole in it from when I hit a baseball off the tee in my own garage. I got other things I got to do. I'm going to work on all those things. Have it done, all right? Because even preseason starting, I'm shutting everything down, and we are focusing 100% on football for the rest of the year. Have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. I will talk to you guys next week. Email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Thanks to Chris for his email. I'm Bobby Fenton. That is the Free Stretch. Final one of the month of July, and August cannot be here soon enough. Have a great weekend wherever you are. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.